Morning, today's daf Pesachim, Chav Tes. We are on the very bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis, and we are picking up where we left off yesterday, obviously, and a question, a very simple question, and who is the author of the Mishnah? Yesterday's daf, we had a Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. The Mishnah read very simply that Chametz HaNarchish HaVal of HaPesach Mutabana, Chametz that belong to a non-Jew. Avar alav Pesach, once Pesach is come and gone, so you're allowed to get benefit from it. And presumably, of course, you're allowed to eat it as well. However, v'shal Yisrael, but if it's chametz owned by a Jew, so also b'ana. So one is not allowed to get benefit from it after Pesach. In other words, this the Mishnah over here is describing chametz avar alav Pesach. So the Mishnah's position is that it's also b'ana. Obviously, also b'achila as well. You can't eat it, you can't get benefit from it as well. And then the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk Shenem Lo Yirelecha Sa'or. You know, there's an issue in the Torah that one is not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. What does it have to do with chametz avar alav Pesach? So it's not clear in the Mishnah. But nevertheless, the Mishnah, we'll get to the Pasuk in just a moment, but the Mishnah makes a very clear distinction between chametz owned by a Jew, chametz owned by a non-Jew. Chametz owned by a non-Jew, after Pesach has come and gone, perfectly mutter. Chametz owned by a Jew, after Pesach has come and gone, perfectly aser. Aser b'achila, aser b'ana. Okay, and what's the question? Well, it took the Gemara and Amud to set up the question, but the question is, who is the author of the Mishnah? Is the author of the Mishnah either Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Yosef Aglili? So what took the Gemara and Amud to set up? And that is, very simply, what are the shittas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosef Aglili? So to quickly recap yesterday's daf and yesterday's second Amud, so shittas Rabbi Yehuda is that there's an Isser of Chametz before Pesach, on Pesach, and after Pesach as well. There are three separate psukim, three separate lavim, before Pesach, meaning from Chatzos Erev Pesach, until the beginning of Pesach, until the night, that's a half a day. So Rav Yehuda says it's a lav to eat chametz during that period of time. Then there's a second lav of the Torah, which is on Pesach itself. And not only is it a lav, it's a lav sheish bo kares. And then according to Rav Yehuda, after Pesach is over, there's an additional lav that one is not allowed to eat any chametz that was owned over the course of Pesach. So that's all shittas Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, obviously the most chamor of the positions, is that there are three lav in the Torah, before, during, and after. Shittas Rabbi Shimon is that there is no lav before, there's no lav after. The only lav that exists is during. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, it's not perfectly clear according to Rabbi Shimon. Does that mean that on Erev Pesach, from Chatzos until night, mamish, it's mutter legamre? Or perhaps what Rabbi Shimon means is that it's not a formal law per se. Okay, the Rishonim debate that, deliberate that. You can see Tosos right here in our Gemara, yesterday's daf, top of Chav Ches Amud Beis, discussed that question according to Rabbi Shimon. But for our purposes right now, suffice to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, before Pesach, it's not a law. After Pesach, it too is not a law. The only time that there's a lav, sheish bo kares, is only going to be on Pesach itself. That's shittas Rabbi Shimon. And then finally, shittas Rav Yosef Aglili. Rav Yosef Aglili represents a minority position that on Pesach itself, chametz is only aser b'achila, but chametz is not aser b'ana. Fine, so those are the three shittas of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rav Yosef Aglili. With all that stated, so now we can, and the Gemara yesterday went through all the positions and what each are going to be doing with the psukim of the Torah, what is each going to respond to the other's position regarding the psukim in the Torah. All that was yesterday's daf. We are continuing. We are now going to ask the Gemara's question, which is very straightforward. After having seen the positions of the Tanaim, who does our Mishnah follow? Mani Masnisin, we are two lines from the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Mani Masnisin, Rabbi Yehuda Chametz Stama Kamar. Now, if the Mishnah is Rav Yehuda, now you'll notice that Rav Yehuda says that chametz is aser, period. Meaning chametz is aser both on Pesach and after Pesach. And afilo denachri. And presumably Rav Yehuda means any chametz is going to be aser. And it doesn't matter who's the owner of that chametz, whether it belonged to a Jew or whether it belonged to a non-Jew. So that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah makes a clear distinction between who is the owner of that chametz over the course of Pesach. And E, Rabbi Shimon, now if you want to tell me that the author of Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, so di Yisrael nami Mishnah kashare. So Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that even if chametz is owned by a Jew, it's going to be mutter after Pesach. Remember that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only time that there's an Isser Chametz is only on Pesach itself, but not after Pesach. The E Rav Yosef Aglili, Afilu Toch Zmano Nami Mishnah Kashare Ba'ana'a. And Rav Yosef Aglili, what are you talking about? The even on Pesach itself, so you're allowed to get Hanah from Chametz on Pesach. So our Mishnah here clearly is not representing the Sheet of Rav Yosef Aglili. So where do we stand right now? We are looking for who is the proper author of our Mishnah. We have three choices of which to choose from, and neither is a match. So it's not A, it's not B, it's not C, but right now the answer is D, none of the above, and that's simply not an acceptable answer. Meaning of the positions that are laid out, we don't have another position amongst the Tanayim, none that's recorded. And to simply just say that our Mishnah represents a fourth position, which is unidentified, the Gemara doesn't want to go in that route. So therefore, what the Gemara is going to do is that the Gemara is going to shoehorn one of the known positions into our Mishnah. And the way it's going to shoehorn it in, it's going to be really interesting. There are going to basically be two approaches amongst the Amoraim. The first approach is going to be so interesting, a little bit really off the beaten path, that the when all said and done, ultimately, the Gemara is going to end up with really only but one approach in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. So, Amar V'Acher B'Yakov L'Olam Rav Yehudihi. Our Mishnah subscribes to the Sheet of Rav Yehuda. Now remember, according to Rav Yehuda, there is an Isser Chametz before, during, and after Pesach as well. The difficulty with suggesting that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, as the Gemara pointed out in the very beginning of today's daf, is that according to Rav Yehuda, he does not discriminate between Chametz that's owned by a Jew versus Chametz that's owned by a non-Jew. Any Chametz that was around during Pesach is going to be usher after Pesach. Presumably, that sheet is Rav Yehuda. So now what Rav Acher Bar Yaakov is going to do is he's going to significantly modify the sheet of Rav Yehuda. In doing so, it's going to make our Mishnah fit into Rav Yehuda, but in doing so also, it's going to come out to a really interesting conclusion. And that is the Aleph Sor, the Achila Masor, the Re'iya. Look, we have Chametz as it relates to an Isser Achila. We have Chametz as it relates to an Isser of Bayira, Bayimatsi, of ownership. Masor de Re'iya Shachayat Arav Al Taro Shal Acherim. Now, when it comes to the Isser of ownership of Chametz, so that Isser of ownership is clearly ownership of a Jew. We discussed this and established this already back on Daf Hey of our Masechta. The only one who is usher to own Chametz and Pesach is only a Jew. Shal Chayat Arav Al Taro Shal Acherim. Vishal Gavoa. So, we already established. You can have the chametz of a non-Jew. You can even have it in your house, as long as you have no responsibility and you have no liability towards that chametz. So that's chametz that you're allowed to have around because it's not yours. Now, here we go. So Rav Acher Bar Yaakov says, so once we've established that the Isser of Bayira Bayimatz is only for chametz of a Jew, afsa or da'achila shalcha yata roava shalcha iata ochel aval ata ochel shalachem vishal gavawa. Now the Isser of Achila is only for chametz of a Jew, not for chametz of a non-Jew. That means as follows, that according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, if the chametz was owned by a non-Jew on Pesach itself, so then what a Jew can do is eat that chametz. Now I know that's a lot, that's saying a lot. And Rashi says in Beferish, Rashi writes, Rashi is third line down, Yalav Seor De'Achila, Klamar, chametz Degabe Lo Ye Achel, Misor deriya umuter chemtzo shanachri af beachila veafilu bepesach min haTorah. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, just like ownership is only going to be limited to chametz of a Jew, not a non-Jew, so too by achila, the isra achila is only going to be limited to chametz of a Jew, not that of a non-Jew. That is the shita of Rav Yehuda, as now understood by Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, and now that's amazing in of itself. A suggestion that we just made that you're allowed to eat chametz on Pesach as long as it's owned by a non-Jew. We'll get to the technical issue in just a moment. How does it remain a non-Jew's chametz while it's in your mouth and you're chewing on it? But once we say that, so now we can say Pshat our Mishnah. Our Mishnah makes a distinction between chametz shel Nachri and chametz shel Yisrael. So good. So now you understand our Mishnah. But the truth of the matter is that as you go back and reread the Mishnah is not saying it as much as we're saying it now. And Uvedinu, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Uvedinu dibay leila misnei dafila ba'achila nami share. Meaning, what's the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is talking about the heter of Hanah. Hedra Vana'a, you're actually, if it's Chamishon Nachri, you're allowed to eat it. I did the Tani Disol Asa Bana, Tani Nami Nachri, Mutar Bana. It just happens to be that the Mishnah here is contrasting the Chametzon by a Jew, Chametzon by a non-Jew, but Chametzon by a non-Jew, it's not only Mutar Bana, it's Mutar Ba'achila. Uvedinu di by Lemesa Dafila Batoch Zmano Mutar Bana. And now, what is the story with chametz owned by a non-Jew? So not only are you allowed to eat it after Pesach, you're allowed to eat it on Pesach itself. So why wouldn't the Mishnah highlight that point, which is a tremendous chiddush? So if I did the Tani Yisrael l'achras mano, Tani Nami did nachri l'achras mano. So the Gemara says that, yeah, in Achinami. But because the Mishnah was talking about Yisrael after Pesach, meaning chamesh avar l'ava Pesach, so therefore talked about the chametz of a non-Jew. But in Achinami, the chametz of a non-Jew, not only is it mutar ba'achila, it's mutar ba'achila even on Pesach itself. Okay, so it's true that the Mishnah really missed an opportunity to highlight something which is rather amazing and remarkable, that you're allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, provided that's owned by a non-Jew. But anyway, the Gemara points out, but only for symmetrical purposes did the Mishnah not tell us the most exciting news regarding chametz of a non-Jew. Okay, Tosfos over here on the top of the Amud does deal with a very technical issue, but it's an important issue in terms of how can you eat chametz of a non-Jew and still the ownership of that chametz still belongs to a non-Jew? Presumably, when you're putting it in your mouth and you're eating it, so either you're doing it with permission, which means now it becomes yours, or you're not doing it with permission, which means you're a gazlan, and therefore you have absolute liability on that. You have responsibility to return its value, so which effectively means that their kinyanim, it becomes yours. So there are technical issues as well. I encourage you to see Tosos. Tosos does not want to go so far as Rashi, what Rashi said, because Rashi really suggested a tremendous chiddush. But as we just read through the Gemara, really simple pshat in the Gemara, and that is that the chametz of a non-Jew, according to Rav Acha by Yaakov, within the sheet of Rabbi Huda, you're allowed to eat, which again is a tremendous chiddush, but it's a simple reading of the Gemara. Anyway, see Tosos for much more discussion on this point. We're going to continue in the Gemara. So far now, we have offered one pshat in the Mishnah, and that is that our Mishnah is following the sheet of Rabbi Huda, and that we're making a basic distinction between chametz of a nachri, chametz of a Jew, both in terms of the Isser Na, and in the Isser of Vayura Bayamatse, and in the Isser of Achila as well. Good. That's one approach in our Mishnah. Rabba Amalolam Rabbi Shimonhi. Rabba will give a second approach in the Mishnah, and that is our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Over Rabbi Shimon, Kenasakanis Ova Avra Allah Bevayura Vayamatse. And now, remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no love of chametz before Pesach. There's no love of chametz after Pesach. The only love of chametz is only on Pesach itself. A love with kareis, but there's only one love. And remember yesterday's daf, Rabbi Shimon, what did he do with the other psukim? Use it to teach us other halachas. Go back to yesterday's daf for a review. But now, as far as pshat in the Mishnah, now we're going to say an excellent pshat in the Mishnah. Rava says, look, after Pesach, chametz is going to be asur, not min haTorah, but rather because of a kenas. Why would the Chachamim constant penalize an individual for chametz that he owned? Exactly for that reason. Because he violated the Isser of Bayura Bayamatse. Since the Jew owned the chametz over Pesach, which you're not allowed to do, he violated the law of Bayura Bayamatse. So as a result of that, after Pesach is over, so therefore the Chachamim imposed a kenas, a penalty on such an individual for having violated the Isser Torah Bayura Bayamatse. And the kenas includes that you're not allowed to eat that chametz after Pesach, and you're not allowed to get benefit from that chametz after Pesach, and that's pshat in our Mishnah. And now the Gemara points out, now that we have this pshat in our Mishnah, this is Rava's pshat, that our Mishnah is really authored by Rabbi Shimon, now we're going to be able to say a really solid pshat at the end of our Mishnah. Because as we already pointed out, but the Gemara now is going to highlight, what pasuk does the Mishnah quote? Bishtamal Rabbi Hanid Dikani Shay Yisrael Asa Mishim Shanem Allah Yirelecha. So you understand now why the Mishnah quotes the pasuk of Lo Yireh. Lo Yireh is the Isser Bayirah Bayimatsa, which exists during Pesach. If we're talking about Chametz Avar Lava Pesach, Chametz after Pesach, what does this pasuk have anything to do with Chametz Avar Lava Pesach? So according to Rava, the answer is perfect, because the Chametz Avar Lava Pesach is Aser because the person violated Bayirah Bayimatsa on Pesach itself. But according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Bayer Abba Yamatzeh is not what is that issue over here. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the issue is the Isser Achila, where Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, and introduced us to the tremendous Chiddush that the Isser of Achila is only for Chametz of a Jew, not Chametz of a non-Jew. So really, what the Pasuk is that should be quoted in our Mishnah is not Lo Yera Elecha, but rather Lo Yechel. So Mitzav Rasa Sefakai, Areshakai. So the Gemara says, okay, but you really didn't understand, meaning according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you didn't understand what the Pasuk is coming to do. What's the Pasuk coming to do? Hachi Kamar. This is actually Pshat in the Pasuk. Chamech Shal, rather Pshat in the Mishnah. Chamech Shanach Rishav Alava Pesach. Chamech of a non-Jew, where Pesach has come and gone. Mutter Behana'a. What the Mishnah is doing at the end is explaining not the Chamech Shal Yisrael, but rather Chamech Shal Nachri. It's going to be Mutter Behana'a. Why? Mishim Shenemar Lo Yelacha. Shelcha Et Haroa, Vaz Haroa Shalachem, Vishal Gavoa. So it's because since there is no Isser of ownership of a chametz by a non-Jew, so too after Pesach there's not going to be any Isser of the chametz of the non-Jew after Pesach as well. The Yalav Sor Dachilam Sor Deria, learning out the Isurim of Achila from Ri'ya, meaning the Isser of eating chametz from owning chametz, and since the two are attached, so once there's no longer an Isser of ownership by a non-Jew, there's also not going to be Isser of Achila, of Chametz, of a non-Jew as well. Good. So what we have over here now in our Gemara are two different approaches in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah that says that Chametz of a non-Jew is Mutter after Pesach, Chametz of a Jew is Aser after Pesach, Aser Bana after Pesach. So how now are we setting up the Mishnah? One of two possible ways. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that our Mishnah is going like Shitas Rav Yehuda. And that is that within Shitas Rav Yehuda, a clear distinction to be made by Chametz of a non-Jew versus Chametz of a Jew. And a tremendous Chiddush in that Chametz of a non-Jew is not only Mutter in terms of Bayer Abba Yamatzeh, but also Mutter in terms of Achila as well. And our Mishnah over here making that clear distinction is following that distinction of Rav Yehuda, which again comes out to be something amazing, that you're allowed to eat Chametz on Pesach, provided it's Chametz owned by a non-Jew. Again, the way I'm setting it up is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Again, it's really the simple reading of the Gemara. That's a tremendous Chiddush. Masha Einkein, according to Rava, Rava says no. Now, presumably, Rava rejects that Chiddush altogether. But Rava would say no, meaning, who's our Mishnah? Our Mishnah's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah's rather going like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon's of the position that Chametz after Pesach is really Mutter. However, because if a Jew were to own Chametz on Pesach, and he would be violating Bayera Bayamatzeh, so therefore the Chachamim imposed a Knaf Midrabanan for that Chametz, where that Chametz you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to get benefit from. Okay. The Azla Tamayu. And now the Gemara continues that both of them are consistent. Ditmar. So let's say a person were to eat Chametz of a non-Jew, where Avar Alava Pesach, where it was owned by the non-Jew during Pesach. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and the question is, according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Amar Loka, Rav says that such an individual will be subject to Malkus, because according to Rav, that Chametz is Aser Min HaTorah, and so therefore that Chametz continues to be Aser Min HaTorah, both during and after Pesach. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Ein Loka, and according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you're not going to get Malkus. Rav Amar Loka, Rav says that you're going to get Malkus because Lo Yalef Rabbi Yehuda, Sor Dachil Misor Deria. Because remember, according to Rava, there is no relationship. It's not necessarily connected, the Isser of Achila, to the Isser of Bayer Abba Yamatzeh. Bayer Abba Yamatzeh is only limited to the Chametz of a Jew, not that of a non-Jew. But that doesn't impact the Isser of Achila. The Isser of Achila applies to all Chametz, whether it belongs to Jew or non-Jew. So that means to say that post-Pesach, any Chametz that was around during Pesach is going to be Aser. Even that of a non-Jew. And so therefore, after Pesach, where according to Rav Yehuda, it continues to be Aser Midda Araisa, so therefore eating the Chametz of a non-Jew after Pesach is going to be Aser Min HaTorah, you're going to get Malkus. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Ein Loka Yalef Sor Dachil Misor Deria, and according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so he learns out the Seor of Ria to the Seor of Achila, and just like Seor of Ria Bayera Bayamasa only applies to Jew, not to non-Jew, so too, Seor de Achila only applies to Jew, not to non-Jew. And so that means to say that Chametz of a non-Jew after Pesach, there's not going to be Malkus because it wasn't Aser. And again, we can go back and repeat Rash, what Rashi said. Not only are you allowed to eat it after Pesach, you're allowed to eat it even on Pesach as well. Okay. So what we have presented so far, the two approaches of the Amoraim in terms of how to understand our Mishnah, either Rav Acher, like Rav Acher by Yaakov, that our Mishnah subscribes to Rabbi Shimon. Sorry. Let me do that again. Let me do it correctly. Either like Rav Acher by Yaakov, that our Mishnah subscribes to Shitas Rav Yehuda, noting a tremendous chiddush that according to Rav Yehuda, yes, there's an Issa Daraisa, both before, during, and after Pesach, but the chiddush Atzuma, the tremendous chiddush is, according to Rav Yehuda, but that's only chametz of a Jew, not that of a non-Jew. And the chametz of a Jew is going to be also in ownership and in hana and in achila, but chametz of a non-Jew is going to be mutter on all three, on ownership, on achila, and on hana. So that means now that our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to eat chametz of a non-Jew after Pesach, truth be told, that's even true on Pesach as well. Okay, that's a tremendous chiddush. That's Rav Acher by Yaakov. Meanwhile, according to Rava, no, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. And it's clear from the Gemara that we just did that Rava rejects the Chiddush of Rav Acher by Yaakov. But rather, Rava says our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that after Pesach is over, Chametz is mutter. But because if it was owned by a Jew during Pesach, he violated by Rabbi Yamatzei, so the Chachamim penalized him. And therefore, that Chametz is going to be also by Achila Uvahana. Now, with all that stated, we have now two approaches of how to understand our Mishnah. And now, in terms of the Hemshech HaGemara, so what the Gemara is now going to point out is that Rav Acher bar Yaakov does a retraction from his position. Rav Acher bar Yaakov provided for us what was a tremendous Chiddush, and it will become evident now from the subsequent discussion that Rav Acher bar Yaakov retreated from that position. Now, in terms of facilitating understanding of the upcoming Gemara, here's what's going to happen. We're going to see a braisa that discusses what happens when a person eats chametz of hekdesh during Pesach, whether he violated me'ilah or he did not violate me'ilah. There's going to be two positions. The two positions are binary. One is that he did violate me'ilah. The other is he didn't. How do you understand that machlokas? We're going to have five different ways to understand that machlokas. That's going to take us halfway through the Amud Beis. It's the fourth approach which we're going to be zooming in on because it's the fourth approach that really treats us to the idea that Rav Acher bar Yaakov retreated from his tremendous Chiddush. Good. That's the outline of the Gemara upcoming. So really what we're interested in over here, we're interested in all of it, obviously, but what we're interested vis-a-vis the sugya of the Gemara is the fourth resolution of this machlokis in which we're going to see that Rav Acher bar Yaakov retreated from his position. Let's see all this inside. So here we start off with the braisa. Ochel chamisho hektesh b'moed. So it's chamisho hektesh. It belongs to the base of Mikdash. And it happens to be, whatever, nobody took care of it. And quite frankly, no one has to take care of it because, as we already discussed earlier in the Masechta, chametz that's owned by hektesh, that's, if you will, I'm just saying this b'derech mashal, that's corporate chametz, that's not private chametz. And that is, there's no iser of ownership of that chametz. And so it's just, it's hanging around on Pesach. In fact, if you recall, we discussed in the first parak that when you have chametz of Nachri in your house and you have no responsibility, no liability for that chametz, and so therefore it can be in your house, but you have to set up a mechitza. You have to put up some sort of partition so that you don't come and accidentally eat that chametz. But if you remember, what was the story with the chametz al hektesh? So chametz al hektesh, you don't even have to put up a partition, meaning everyone has a natural distance created between themselves and hektesh, and so therefore you don't even have to put up a partition. Okay, well, that's what the Gemara established already in the first parak. Meanwhile, okay, so someone ate the chametz of hektesh, right? Maybe he should have put up a partition, but anyway, someone ate the chametz of hektesh on Pesach. Did he violate the Isra Me'ilah? Okay, we just discussed Me'ilah. Yesterday's daf, we get to discuss it again. The idea behind Me'ilah is he took something that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, property of Hekdesh, and you misappropriated, you got benefit from it. So under those circumstances, so the violation of Me'ilah, which means you have to make full restitution, you have to add a Chomesh, and you have to bring an Asha Me'ilah. So if you ate Chametz of Hekdesh, so are you going to be subject to Me'ilah and Machlokas? So according to the Tanakhama Malvi, Yesh Amrim Lo Ma'al, So did you violate Me'ilah? Did you not violate Me'ilah Machlokes? So man yesh omrim. So this position that you didn't violate Me'ilah, how do we understand that position? So once again, five different views of how to understand that position. Let's go number one. I'm Rav Yochanan Rav Nechunya ben Akanihi D'Tanya. So we learned in a Braisa. Primarily, we're going to be discussing this in Ksuvos, in the third perek. So first of all, the basic rules of Kimlei B'Derabim Minei. Kimlei B'Derabim Minei is that when a person violates two Isurim, one being a Chomer, let's say a Mises Beis Din, and the other one being Morkal, meaning Mamonos. So when a person violates the two simultaneously, so then the harsher one is going to override the lesser one. And now it doesn't expunge it, it's still there, but Beis Din can only judge you for the harsher one, not for the lighter one. And the Chiddush Atzuma, which the Gemara in Ksuvos tells us, is that even if you're not going to get judged on the harsher one, you're still going to be exempt, or you're still not going to be litigated over the lighter one. Yes, there is a halacha of Latzis Yidei Shemayim, that you still have an obligation to pay back, but you cannot be taken to Beis Din. Beis Din only has the right to adjudicate the harsher one, not the lesser one. With that stated, so the Gemara in Ksuvos, and our Gemara over here is pointing as well, cites the position of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana is of the position that Kimlei B'Derabim Minei is not only true if the harsher penalty is Mises Beis Din, but it would also be true even if the harsher penalty is Kares. Now that's a tremendous chiddush, because Kares obviously is Bein Adam L'Makom, meaning that's not in Beis Din's jurisdiction at all. Yet Rav Nechunya ben Akana says it's the same idea, that Kares obviously is a harsher penalty, and so therefore with Kares, so therefore there's not going to be a Chi of Mama. Or to say it more accurately, Beis Din is not going, you can't be taken to Beis Din for the Chi of Mama. So Rav Nechunya ben Akana haya osa es yama kipurim kishabas lit tashlumim. So he basically equates Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Ma Shabbos mischai benasho patam min tashlumim by Shabbos. So that is a Mises Beis Din. There is a potential capital punishment for the person who willfully violates Shabbos. With Eidim, with Asra, we all know. But Af Yom HaKippur, Mizchayah B'Nasho, same thing is true with Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, whether it's not Mises Beis Din, Yom Kippur carries at its maximum a onish of Kares. But according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that still will be enough to override the Chi of Mamon, Pater Mitashlumim. For such an individual, he'll be exempt from Tashlumim. So now, when you eat chametz on Pesach, so that coming with that is an Issur Kares. Since an Issur Kares comes with that, so therefore there's no Tashlumim, and that's the Yesh Omrim who says Lo Ma'al. Okay, that is one approach to understand the Shitas Yesh Omrim. A second approach, Rav Yosef Amar Beponim Mesakashim La'achil Maklavim Kemiflagi. Now Rashi points out over here, this second approach of Rav Yosef, we have to assume that Rav Yosef over here is understanding this Braisa Aliba de Rav Yosef Glili. Rav Yosef Glili says that chametz on Pesach is aser ba'achila, but mutter ba'hanah. Now I know it's not in the Gemara, but Rashi says you're going to have to say that, as will become clear and evident over the course of this second explanation. Now, when you have hekdesh, and let's say the only thing you could do with that hekdesh is redeem it, but only so that you can benefit from it, but you can't eat it, i.e., it's chametz on Pesach, right? According to Rav Yosef Glili. What a wonderful example. Now, I'm allowed to benefit from it. I cannot eat it. Now, what would benefit mean? Benefit would mean that, let's say, it belongs to Hekdesh, and now I'm going to redeem it. Now, because it's Pesach, what can I do with it? I can't eat it, but I can feed it to my dog. Are you allowed to redeem Hekdesh so that ultimately what's going to happen is it's going to be eaten by dogs? A major debate. And that is what is at the core of the machlokus between the Tanakhama and the Yesh Omrim. So the Tanakhama says that you violate Me'ilah because the Tanakhama allows you to redeem Kachim even though it's only going to be consumed by a dog. And the Yesh Omrim is of the position that you cannot redeem, meaning it's just simply so inappropriate that you're going to be redeeming Hekdesh and all that's going to happen now is going to be eaten to the dogs. So the Yesh Omrim takes the position that you cannot do that. If you cannot do that, so therefore it doesn't have value. If it doesn't have value, so therefore you were not mo'al behekdesh. That was approach number two. Approach number three, Rav Acha Merava Tana La, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, La Shmaita de Rav Yosef Baha Lishna, the Kulei Amma Impodim as a Kashim La'achil Maklavim. Everyone's of the position that you do not redeem hekdesh if all you're going to do is feed it to your dogs. V'acha Baha Kemiflagi, V'davar Garon L'mamon K'mamon Dami. And over here, what's that issue over here is Davar HaGarim L'mamon. Now, davar agarim lamamon in this context over here is slightly different than how we normally describe a davar agarim lamamon. Under normal circumstances, we would describe davar agarim lamamon is that this does not have monetary value, but to me it represents monetary value because I have liability over this item, and if taken away from me, if removed from me, so then I'm going to have to make good on that item, and that's normally what we describe as a davar agarim lamamon. In this context over here, it's slightly different. It means that if you wait till after Pesach, it's going to have value. Now, after Pesach, it's going to have value. So as Rashi points out over here, we are going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon says that after Pesach, it is no longer an Isser Da'araisa of Chametz. So the and remember, over here, we're talking about not Hekdesh of... Not chametz of a private individual, but rather chametz of a hekdesh. So it's the davar agarim lamamon kamamon dami man damer ma'al. So the one who says that you are mo'el kasef a davar agarim lamamon kamamon dami on Pesach itself, it has zero value. But if you wait till after Pesach, it will have value. So we're going to qualify this as a davar agarim lamamon. So is a davar agarim lamamon considered mamon? So the Tanna Kamma says yes. And therefore, if I ate it on Pesach itself, so because it would have value after Pesach, so therefore, we view it as if it is mamon even on Pesach as well. And therefore, one violated the Isra Mila. Uman lamamon, mamon dami. And the one, and the Yeshaman who says that you did not violate Mila is because we don't look at its potential value, but rather you look at its current value. Currently, right now, on Pesach itself, it has no value. And therefore, it is not, one's not violating Mila, even though, obviously, if you project, if you the simple future holds it having value, nevertheless, currently does not have value, and so therefore, according to the Yeshomim, you did not violate Mi'ilah. That was the third approach, and here we are now up to the fourth approach, and obviously now we get to highlight this fourth approach because it's within this fourth approach that we're going to see that according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, a retraction of his original premise. Let's first see the fourth approach. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar dekul le'ama, davar agarim lamamon kemamon dami. Something which will have value in the future now is deemed halachically as if it currently has value. V'hachem b'plukta de Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon kemiflagi. And over here, what's that issue? It's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Man damar lo ma'al k'Rabbi Yehuda. The one who says that you did not violate Me'ilah, so that subscribes to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that the chametz is going to be aser both before, during, and after Pesach as well. Now, which chametz is going to be aser before, during, and after Pesach? So according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so that is in terms of the iser of ownership, so that's only going to be chametz of a non-Jew. I'm sorry, chametz of a Jew, not chametz of a non-Jew. But that's vis-a-vis ownership. What about the Isser of Achila and the Isser of Ana'a? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, all chametz is going to be Asr. Now, if you remember well, what Rav Acha bar Yaakov tried to suggest earlier this morning is that there is a relationship between the Isser of Bayira and the Isser of Achila. Just like the Isser of Bayira only applies to Jew and non-Jew, so to the Isser of Achila only applies to Jew, not to a non-Jew. That's what Rav Acha suggested earlier. What comes out right now in our Gemara is that that's not true. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying that in explanation of the Tanna Kamma that you violated Me'ilah, so it's because the Tanna Kamma subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Isser of Chametz applies the position of the Yesh Omer, not the Tanna Kamma. Okay, I know there's a lot to keep straight over here, and I myself also am struggling a little bit, but now I'm back. So the position of the Yesh Omrim is following the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that Chametz is going to be Aser before, during, and after. And that would mean now that Chametz of everybody, both Jew and that of a non-Jew as well. And now, in that position, not only is it Chametz of a non-Jew, but we're also referring to Hekdesh as well. Meaning that whatever the status is of chametz of a non-Jew is also going to be true by the chametz of Hekdesh, because both of them are not privately Jewish-owned chametz. And so therefore, according to the Yeshomim, where you're not Ma'al, that is going according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Umanda Amar Ma'al ki Rabbi Shimon. And the one that says that you did violate the Isra Me'ilah, that's going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. If this is Rav Acher bar Yaakov as originally presented to us, that he said that whatever is true regarding the Isra of ownership is also going to be true regarding the Isra of Achila as well. And that would mean then that since the Isra of ownership only applies to Jew, not to non-Jew, not to Hekdesh, so presumably the same thing would be true regarding Hekdesh as well. And by virtue of the fact that Rav Acher bar Yaakov is explaining the Shita of the Yesh Omrim according to Rabbi Yehuda, it must mean that Rav Acher bar Yaakov has now retracted from this Chiddush, and that Rav Acher bar Yaakov has now, in fact, separated the Isra of Bal Yirah, or Bal Yimaseh, from the Isra of Achila. Okay. Ela hadar bei Rav Acher bar Yaakov me'ahi. So Rav Acher bar Yaakov retracted. Okay, now, admittedly, by the way, that is a complex piece of Gemara, meaning taking a machlokus regarding whether one violated the Isra Me'ilah for eating Chamishal Hekdesh on Pesach, and knowing that there's a machlokus between the Tanakhama and the Yesh Omrim, and then assigning who is the Tanakhama, who's the Yesh Omrim, and seeing that Rav Acher bar Yaakov, in one of five different explanations, says that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon, and the Yesh Omrim is going like Rabbi Yehuda, now when you put all that information together, and that's a lot of information to put together, so one sees that Rav Acher bar Yaakov has in fact retracted from his original position, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, whatever is true by the Isra, by Rabbi Yamatz, is also going to be true by the Isra of Achila. So I'm acknowledging that that's a lot, but the Gemara, once you cheshbon it out, it all works out. It comes out now that Rav Acher bar Yaakov retracted, rescinded from his from that tremendous chiddush that he said earlier this morning. Now, we did say that there are five explanations, so explanation number five. Rav Ashi Amar Dekulei Amayin Poden, Rav Ashi is of the position that you do not redeem chametz if all you're going to be doing is feeding it to your dogs. V'davar agarv l'mamon lav k'mamon dami. And the fact that it's going to be mutter after Pesach, meaning again, we're subscribing to Rabbi Shimon, so on Pesach itself, still it does not have value. V'halcha b'pukta d'Rav Yosef l'ulav rabban k'miflegi. What's that issue over here is the machlokes of Rav Yosef Glili and the Chachamim. Man damar mal ki Rav Yosef. The one who says that you violated Me'ilah is subscribing to Rav Yosef. What did Rav Yosef teach us? Yesterday's daf. Rav Yosef taught us that Chametz on Pesach is mutter behana'a. So that means to say that it has value. And therefore you were mol behektish. Whereas according to Man damar lomal, the one who says that you were not mol behektish, is karabban and subscribing to the sheet of the Chachamim. Chachamim over here could be Rabbi Shimon, it could be Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't matter. The point is that it's aser b'ana, and so therefore the chametz on Pesach has no value, and therefore when you eat it, you are not mol behektish because you did not eat something of value. Ad kan, that takes us to the five explanations of the machlokes of what happens when you eat hektish, chametz shel hektish on Pesach itself. One viewpoint is that you are mol behektish. The other one is that you are not mol behektish. And the Gemara gave five explanations. And the reason why the Gemara brought it over here is just simply to highlight the fact that Rav Acher bar Yaakov, who originally laid out a tremendous chiddush within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda links together the Isra of Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh to the Isra of Achila, and that it's only limited to the chametz owned by a Jew, not by a non-Jew, and by dint, chametz of Hekdesh as well. So clearly in Rav Acher bar Yaakov's presentation of the machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Yesh Omrim, whether you're a mol, you were not mol, and aligning the opinion of the Yesh Omrim to that of the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, so clearly Rav Acher bar Yaakov has now retracted from that original position. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf. If we could just pause for a moment right now, a summary is actually really straightforward, meaning what happened in the Gemara, although as complicated as the Gemara is, what the Gemara was trying to accomplish is very straightforward. Who is the author of our Mishnah? In yesterday's daf, we had a Mishnah, Chav Chesem and Aleph, that said the chametz of a non-Jew, Shavar Alav HaPesach, is going to be Motar B'Hanan, presumably B'Achila as well. Chametz of a Jew, after Pesach, is going to be also B'Achila V'Hana. Who is the author of that Mishnah? And after yesterday's daf introducing us to three candidates, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosef Glili, so in today's daf, so really when all is said and done, right, after shaking out a lot of complex Gemara, what comes out now really is that there's really only one way to explain our Mishnah. And that is our Mishnah is Aliva de Rabbi Shimon, subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Chamesh Avra Lava Pesach Min HaTorah is Mutter, and that there is no lav of eating chametz, even though the chametz was owned over Pesach, but Chamesh Avra Lava Pesach is going to be Aser through the perspective of a Knas Derabanan, meaning that even though Min HaTorah is going to be Mutter, but the Chachamim penalized that chametz which was owned by a Jew. Why would the Chachamim do that? Very simple. Because the Jew owned the chametz over Pesach, thereby violating this or Bal Yerah by Yimatzeh. And so therefore the Chachamim penalized that chametz. That chametz is not going to be, that chametz cannot be eaten after Pesach. And not only cannot be eaten, but it cannot get benefit from it as well. Otherwise known as the Knas Rabbanan of Chamesh Avra Lava Pesach. That's the way to explain our Mishnah. There was an alternative way to explain it, but the Gemara noted that Rav Acher by Yaakov, in his alternative way of explaining it, had to develop a tremendous chiddush, which anyway he backed away from. Okay. We have but a little more to go in terms of today's daf. However, that little more to go is an extraordinarily complex sugya, but let's begin. And that is Tairov v'shel chametz. What happens when you have a mixture of chametz? Now, in order to appreciate the upcoming Gemara, so let's do a crash course in Tairov, shall we? If I have a mixture of, let's call it Yavish v'Yavish, where I have dry foods getting mixed together, Avista v'Heter. So when does Bittul occur? When you have the majority. When the majority of it is Mutter, and the minority is Isser, so then it's going to then the whole Tairov is going to be Aser. Three hot dogs get mixed together. Hot dogs may not be the best example, but just for purposes of illustration, three hot dogs get mixed together. Two of them are kosher, one of them are not kosher. So now, and I can't identify which one's which, so the halacha is bittul has occurred, and so therefore you're allowed to eat all three hot dogs. Okay, one person allowed to eat all three hot dogs. Does it have to be shared by at least two different people? Can it be eaten at the same time? Can it be eaten only b'zeh or zeh? Okay, there's a lot of details which we're not going through because this is a crash course in bittul. But nevertheless, that's the basic idea of yavish b'yavish. Good. Now, what about lach b'lach? What if, let's say, it's a total mixture of the two, where one basically gets diffused in the other, as is just a simple example, milk falls into a cholent. So that's what's called lach b'lach. So what happens under those circumstances? So there, when it comes to lach b'lach, so you have to take the following into consideration. Was it nosing time or was there no nosiness time? Was there a contrast in taste? Clearly, by milk and meat, there's a contrast in taste. So then, is there going to be bittul? So if there's nesinas tam, if the milk now presents a taste into the meat, so then it's going to be asr min haTorah. And that takes us to the topic of tam ki'ikar. If there's no nesinas tam, if let's say no taste is introduced, meaning the amount of milk that goes in is just simply not enough to introduce taste, which the Chachamim measured as being a 60th, so then it's going to be there's going to be bittul. Good. That's the sheet. That's lach b'lach when it is of min b'sheino mino. What if it's min b'mino? Let's say milk falls into milk. Milk of non-kosher falls into milk of kosher. And let's just assume for not the best example, but let's just assume now it has the same taste. So that's what's called min b'mino. So what do we say by min b'mino v'davar halach when the two get mixed up together? So we have a fundamental machlokus amongst the Amorayim. So Rav Shmuel of the position that min b'mino, there is never bittul by min b'mino by davar lach. And Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish of the opinion that min b'mino, so there is going to be bittul. Now, truth be told, at what point do you need in order for bittul to occur? So I can't taste the not kosher, meaning the not kosher has the same taste as a kosher. So really what you would say is that me'ikar adin, you would need rov, but the Chachamim imposed a chumra, that it would be the same ratio as if there would be nesinas tam, i.e., you would need shishim. Okay, that was just a crash course in bittul, and admittedly, I went through that really quickly. But now let's see the positions. Amar Rav, chametz bizmano. So let's say we're talking about chametz on Pesach itself. Bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino, aser. So whether we're talking about whether Tairovis was bimino or afilu shalob bimino, it's going to be aser. Shalob is mano. Now, if we're talking about chametz after Pesach, the bimino aser, shalob bimino mutter. So if it's a Tairovis of min bimino, it's going to be aser. If it's a Tairovis of min b'sheino mino, it's going to be mutter. So b'mayiskin, and the Gemara says, let's get clarity on this, on what's going on over here. Ilema b'nosin tam. If we're talking about where there was a nesinas tam shalob ismano, shalob imino, mutter. So now, if it presented a taste, and it was after Pesach, and it was shalob imino, so you're telling me it's mutter hayayv taima. So it's providing a taste. If it's providing a taste, it's clearly going to be aser. Ela b'mashu. So we're talking about where the amount that comes in is a mashu. It's just it's a trace amount of chametz. Now chametz bizmano bein b'mino bein shalob b'mino aser. Now if we're talking about during Pesach, so whether the tarovis is b'mino, whether the tarovis is shalob b'mino, it's going to be aser. Now Rav Tame the Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu Kol Yisurim Shabatora. So now, Rav and Shmuel are both of the opinion that any tarovus a min bimino is going to be oser b'mashehu. Right? That's what we said in our introduction. That Rav and Shmuel are of the position that when you have a tarovus and it's of iser and heter, but they taste the same, just one happens to be oser and the other one happens to be mutter. So then their position is in general that the resulting tarovus is going to be Oser afilo b'mashu. Now, let's say the chametz got mixed up. She'eino b'mino. Now, over here, right? The cases are going to be a little bit complicated. Meaning, we're talking about chametz. It's not a tarovus of yavish b'yavish, right? It's not a bread mixed up with chametz. And also, just to complicate things, matter in our world, we would never confuse chametz and matzah. Meaning, matzah clearly is so distinct in its look and its taste. So, but you go back to a time where the differentiation between chametz and matzah was not as clear. We're going to see clearly that their chametz their matzah looked a lot more like their chametz, right? It was soft and even a little bit pliable. Anyway, and over here, we're really talking about a tarovus of lach balach. We're not talking about yavish b'yavish. But anyway, with all that stated, so the starting point of Rav and Shmuel is that min b'mino is oser b'mashu. Now min b'she'eino mino, so shalob b'mino b'nosin tam. So really, the truth of the matter is that bittul will occur by min b'she'eino mino. But Rav gazer chametz b'zmano shalob b'mino atu mino. But Rav says, look, that since min b'mino is going to be oser b'mashu, so if it's min b'she'eino mino, so the chachamim made gzera, and that's going to be also even b'mashu on Pesach. Now v'shalav b'zmano. Now chamish avar lava Pesach. So b'mino also k'Rabbi Yehuda. Now if it's min b'mino, so it's going to be also because we subscribe to Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that chametz after Pesach is an iser daraisa. V'shalav b'mino. Now what if it's min b'sheno mino motor? V'shalav b'zmano v'shalav b'mino atumino kuleha lo gazrina. Because over here, how far are we going to have to go in order to get to an iser daraisa? So shalob b'zmano v'shalob b'mino, because you might get to mino. So to that degree, to that extent, the chachamim were not gozer. All that is shitas rav. Now Shmuel amar chametz b'zmano b'mino also shalob b'mino mutter. Now Shmuel says that chametz b'zmano during Pesach itself, if it's a tarovus min b'mino aser. If it's min b'sheino mino, it's going to be mutter. Shalob bizmano. Now after Pesach, ben b'mino, ben shalob b'mino, mutter. Any tarofis is going to be mutter. Chametz bizmano b'mino aser. Now chametz bizman, meaning on Pesach itself. So any tarofis is going to be aser. Shmuel tamei the Rav Shmuel tamei tavei called isurin shebatorah b'mino isuran b'mashu. So again, the starting point of Shmuel is going to be just like Rav, that when you have a tarofis a min b'mino, so an any tarofis, meaning chametz bePesach and any tarovus if it's min b'mino, so it's going to be b'mashu. Shelo b'mino. Now if it's min b'sheino mino, b'no sein tam. And now shelo b'mino atomino lo gazer. So here's the point of separation between Shmuel and Rav, where Shmuel is of the position of the chachamim dynamic gzera. If I have a tarovus of min b'sheino mino on Pesach itself, so me'ikar adin there's bittul, and according to Shmuel the chachamim did not make a gzera of min b'sheino mino atu min b'mino. And shalob b'zmano ben b'mino ben shalob b'mino mutarim ki Rabbi Shimon. Now what about after Pesach? So after Pesach, a tarovus is going to be mutar, whether it's min b'mino, whether it's min b'sheino mino. Why should that be? Because Shmuel, again, another point of separation between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel is of the position that chamish avar lava Pesach is not Aser min Torah like the Shita of Rav Yehuda, but rather, according to Shmuel, Chamish Aval of a Pesach is going to be Aser min Derabanan because of a Knas that we were introduced to in today's daf. So that's why Chamish Aval of a Pesach is going to be Aser. So to that degree, if the Chamish is Be'en, that's going to be Aser. But if the Chamish comes to us Ayde Tarovis, then here, doesn't matter what the Tarovis is. Whether it's min b'mino, whether it's min b'sheino mino, but because the isser to begin with is an isser d'rabanan, so once it comes to us via tarovis, so therefore it's going to be mutter. That's the shita of Shmuel. Okay, there is one more shita, and that's Rav Yochanan, and we're going to hold because already we're out of time, and that's already a lot of information. So let's quickly recap. First half of today's daf is complicated but easy to recap. In that, who is the author of our Mishnah, the Mishnah Chaf Ches and Aleph? And the answer is there were two opinions that were presented in today's daf, Rav Acher by Yaakov and that of Rava. But when all said and done, Rav Acher by Yaakov, in order to suggest a pshat in the Mishnah, how to present a tremendous chiddush, which he himself retreated from. So therefore, when all said and done, our Mishnah is subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. That chametz on Pesach is aser min haTorah, both in terms of lav and in terms of chiyuv karis as well. But after Pesach is over, chametz is mutter min haTorah. But because the chametz owned by a Jew over Pesach violated, by definition, violated the isra by Yerav Yamatzeh, so therefore chametz over alav a Pesach, that chametz after Pesach is going to be aser mishum kenas, and the kenas is going to include both an isra achila and an isra hana as well. Chamisha Avar Alav HaPesach. That's the Pshat Mishnah as presented by Rava. And the vast majority of today's daf is all but an intricate discussion in terms of Rav Acher by Yaakov's Chiddush within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which anyway the Gemara retracted from. That's all first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf is what is the story of Chametz that is in a tarovis that becomes part of a mixture. So what is going to be the status, if we're talking about the tarovis of chametz on Pesach, what's going to be the status of chametz as the tarovis after Pesach? There are going to be three opinions on this matter. Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav's of the position that chametz as a tarovis on Pesach itself is going to be usur under circumstances of both tarovis of min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino. After Pesach, chametz shavar lav Pesach, so if it's going to be a tarovis of min b'mino, that's going to be aser. But min b'she'eno mino is going to be moter. Because Rav subscribes to the shita of Rav Yehuda vis-a-vis chamish avar lav Pesach, that too is going to be aser min haTorah. Shmuel's position is that there are two points of differentiation between Shmuel and Rav. One, according to Shmuel, during Pesach, a chametz involved in a tarovis is going to be also only b'min b'mino. Now, min b'mino b'mashu, meaning that if I have chametz mixed in with other foods that are of the same, it just happens to be it's non-chametz. And again, I know that that's difficult to put into practical terms. How can chametz get mixed in with something that tastes similar to it? But for the purposes of just laying down the shitas, according to Shmuel, if it's min b'mino on Pesach itself, it's going to be aser. And again, Shmuel Atame, Shmuel says that the tarovis of min b'mino is oser b'mashu. If it's min b'she'eno mino, so then it is mutter, even on Pesach. So Shmuel says that the chachamim dynamic exera, since may ikar adin, bitul has occurred. So Shmuel's of the position, so that would be true, even though we're talking about chametz on Pesach. Fine. And then, what about after Pesach? So here, Shmuel also separates himself from Rav, because Shmuel subscribes to not Shitas Rav Yehuda, but rather Shitas Rava. I'm sorry, Shitas Rabbi Shimon. I know why I got confused, because Rava also subscribes to Rabbi Shimon. But Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that Chamisha Avalav Pesach is Mutter Min HaTorah, Aser Mid Rabbanan. And therefore, the Chamisha Avalav Pesach is only Aser Mid Rabbanan. Therefore, if in a Tarovis, it's going to be Mutter, even Min Bemino, that Shitas Shmuel. We start tomorrow by introducing ourselves to the third opinion, that of Rav Yochanan, and then a discussion in tomorrow's daf in terms of who does Allah follow.